The thing is they come back from, like, so what I find is people come back when I, this is gonna sound really good, when I talk over their head, because they realize there's way more to learn. And so the fact is when you kind of show them the depth of what's the next level, they're like, holy shit, okay, wait, what is that all about? I'm like, okay, let's talk into that.
Well, that's what, and again, that's what he's going to get.
That's right. And so ultimately it's they want to go deeper, and you need to keep showing them there's more depth. Right?
I think we do a good job.
Does that feel right?
Yeah. And I think going back to your point, I think I'm thinking a lot about like the uncertainty part of both like questions and also what we do. I think
Yeah.
that's something very uncomfortable to be in. And I think that a lot of the knockoffs, I think they give a very large sense of certainty.
Yeah.
It's like this
it's
is what we do,
comfortable.
this is what we
Yeah.
do.
Well,
Exactly. That's very
but
comforting.
this is where, like, so in the world I work in, there are people say, I'll get you five ideas that will get you $1 million and do this and this and this and this. And I go, like, I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna find. And you have to basically start to battle those people to say, like, they're promising that, but when you really look back on it, they never get you an idea that's worth $1 million ever. And you've done it 1,000 times, but you're still going back. And so part of it is to realize, like, you have to call them out on their behavior. Right? And you're always gonna have knockoffs. And so you gotta you the thing that I would tell you is let them define the difference. You don't define the difference. So when they say, you know, well, I could go to so and so. Well, what's the difference between them and me? And they'll whatever they come up with, they're right. Well, you're more depth, but you're harder to get on. Okay, do you want just easier access but dumber answers? I don't understand.
Yeah.
I like the three answers to the question
Yeah.
because that already makes it like it's not certain,
That's
right?
right.
Yeah.
It's there's and I think that that's one thing that I noticed, like people really want like clear answers, like this is what to
Well, because
because they
that's what
don't
they've
want
been
to be
taught in
wrong.
school,
Yeah,
is that there is a correct answer.
it's a failed
It's like it's either A, B, C, or
application.
D, right? Instead of like, oh, I have to actually reason my way through this, and then I have to actually go through a process to actually determine this, because the level of complexity is so high that I don't have this direct cause and effect relationship, right? I have to actually understand what just happened that will lead me to the next course of action. It's like people
So,
don't recognize that.
one of the things I do, and I'm assuming you might do this tomorrow as well, but I literally will pull people out of an audience I've never met and ask them about something they recently bought. And they'll give me some lie of why they bought. Oh, I got such a deal on the car. It was amazing, blah, blah, blah. And it turns out, like, no, the old car was broken. This was, you know, a big repair before. The reality is you have a big trip ahead of you. Like, there's all these other things that are wrapped around it. And you got to
Right.
go, like, and they only tell you this much of the story, but the reality is the story is this big. And
Right.
so my thing would be is I could see you doing like me just walking in today at all 30 people there and say, like, let's just take a half an hour. I'm gonna work on this guy, and I've never met him and I don't know who he is. And so you can see my approach, and I want you to just take questions and write down, and then basically then they get to interview you and me, or you and the person you did, to say, like, what is it like to be the patient? And what was I thinking as he was doing this? I'm like, oh, you know, like he felt something, but I didn't really feel it. And then we did it again. I'm like, oh yeah, I can feel a difference. Like, there's all those kinds of things where I think it's good for them to see what the potential of where they could go is. Like how quickly he just diagnosed me and what was going on was fucking unbelievable. I mean,
Not really.
it's a. So here's the thing
No, it's like
no.
it's like
So
that's your perception.
for people who have no
It took
experience.
me 35 years
I get it.
to
I
do
get it.
that.
It looks like magic. It looks like magic.
Yeah,
And it's the same thing when I come in and say, this is why people hire, like, how did you come up with that? It's like, I only need 10 people and I can tell you how the whole market works. And they're like, how do you know that? It looks like magic, but once you break it down to say, like, there's a system and a method to this madness, this is how this works. This is what you can do.
That's the intent of the courses, and also, like, we recorded your session today. We have a series on the network. We use
So
the
you should be able to use me for this and then talk through what my diagnosis is going to be,
Absolutely.
and then you can talk through what we've been doing, and then I can talk through what the masseuse has been doing. I can get the
That
masseuse
is,
on the line as well. She'll.
yeah, that's exactly that's what these case studies, like, we use, like, Andrew, for instance,
And it's back.
and his back and his stuff. Bill and I talk about it.
Yeah.
We have a whole series of episodes like this on the network.
Julie's foot is another big one you should
Julie's
do.
foot, yeah.
Have I seen her?
Yeah, we have
Okay,
like three
yeah.
watched.
Okay.
Julie's my wife.
Yeah, no. Just
Yeah.
I literally just put two and two together. It's
But
like,
her she's been having all these pains with her feet and everything, and she's gone to the orthotic people, and
Yeah.
she was a big doctor person, and now she's realizing like doctors are full of shit.
I mean, we got rid of her foot pain in 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no,
and now she's wearing regular shoes and she feels like a human again. And,
yeah.
And so
yeah, no, that was
and the doctor would never have gone through anything they were talking about.
Years, yeah. And his feet were always like people.
So one of the things I would tell you as a way for certification is to make them do a case study as part of
certification. There's no question. So
you're already there.
Don't listen. So the end of the second day is like they actually have to do everything that we talked about over the 2 days. They have to execute. So they'll have an opportunity to do
it. The certification process will involve having to come here with a small group.
Oh, yeah.
4 days.
Yeah.
And at the end, you will be, you know, Star Trek at all?
Yeah.
So the Kobayashi
Maru. Yeah.
So you're going to get a possible situation where you come in this room with Bill and you have a question on the whiteboard or a patient case on the whiteboard and you have to try to solve it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if you do it, then you can be certified.
And you will fail miserably under all circumstances.
So the hard part for you is you can see that the question is probably 70% right. What do you do?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll just mislead them. So you've been through it, right? You had rap day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all the little plaque there.
Yeah.
Those are my students over 8 years. And he was actually, he was an unofficial student for about 8 weeks. But no, each one of those would have to go through essentially a day where they had to do a case presentation. They had to provide all of their logic, exactly what happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then like they literally had to go through the entire process in front of, at the time we had a big staff, we had about eight to 10 people in here. And literally they're, so they
peer review.
Like of the worst kind.
Because I
would give them two scenarios to choose from, and then they would choose a scenario, and then they would like literally go through the process in front of everyone. And then my guys were so loaded for bear that they would just grill them.
Why'd you think that? Why would you go there?
Absolutely, it was just horrible.
And you're not sure whether
it's a great experience,
but you're not sure whether you did it right or not.
Yeah.
The thing is they just got to get over their fear of doing it wrong and realize like they know it.
Yeah. So it was always a great time, and they all benefited except for one.
So
there's one up there that says
I was gonna say, was that Baltimore or was
basically.
He just wasn't
dragged out his time here.
It was not a good match.
I've had a guy who basically has come to every one of my sessions, any public where I have him. He literally finds it, he signs up for it, he's been doing it for 15 years. Still hasn't done one interview. We will not talk to one customer.
Oh,
he's too afraid. I'm just like, dude, you can't come back until you've talked to a customer. I can't do it.
Yeah,
you have a groupie. So,
yeah, that's exactly what that is.
Nice. He's got a lot of sick for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's part of your job to protect him from that.
Yeah, that's basically.
He runs interference well.
The start of our business was trying to protect Bill's time and make sure that people weren't taking.
Well, the hard part is most people don't know that they're taking advantage of Bill.
I don't think their intentions are.
They don't have that intention, but the fact is, like, if there's stuff they could learn in other places that they should be coming to you with the more harder stuff, not with the easy stuff. And so.
Well, so people, you know, from my perspective, like, people taking, Bill's very generous with his time, and Bill is, his attitude, but I can see it as, like, people are taking advantage. And I do think some people have.
Yeah, I would tell you that I can't see it. I'm pretty sure he can't see it.
Yeah, I
can. I can't see it until it's done.
Yeah.
I can't see it going in because I'm just like loaded for like, you got a question for me? Dude, I want to answer it. Like, and you realize like, okay, that was just a waste of time.
Yeah.
But see, that's Greg. So that's what Greg is for me. I'm an optimist and Greg's the pessimist. Yeah, but I've learned, like, look, I'll be in front of in a talk of 1,000 people and Greg will tell me to stop. Like in the back of the room, I'll just stop. And everybody's like, who's that guy? Like how can, and I know whatever he's doing is that I'm either doing something wrong. There's something that's going to happen that I didn't know, or like, he's just looking out for me. And so I can't, 1,000%.
I don't pay any attention to time.
Yes.
And so then you just go. And then he goes, why don't we take a break?
I'm going to take this back. You're sensitive to the time when it's somebody else.
Oh, probably.
Because you just looked at your clock and said, how much longer do we
have? I didn't want to take his.
Exactly. You're sensitive to the time when it's his time. But when it's your own time, like, it's like, I'll just give it freely. This is a problem I have too.
I feel so good about my problems today, Bob. Thanks to you.
Well, it's like they're really, not really problems. They're side effects of the blessing that you got.
Like, it puts me a little bit at ease about some stuff. That it's like, okay, I'm not the only one that deals with this kind of thing.
I think like there's something about 30 years that once you get past 30 years of doing something, you know you don't know it, but you know it better than most people. And so there's just this comfort of, I'll talk about it because I don't really know.
Well, I'm more comfortable being uncertain than I ever have been.
That's right.
Right. It's like,
it gets worse.
I can only imagine.
Right. Because at some point it gets worse because you just start to like not even listen to questions anymore because it's just like,
deal with that. I would prefer to spend more time by myself thinking through
that's
this
what I'm doing
than anything
or with,
right
with
now.
Fewer with a few people like I, for me
well it's like yeah. you know it's like that's why I bring people like him, that's why he's here, and that's definitely why he's here, you know.
But I've kind of changed my goals. My goals were, you know, I wanted a million people in the world to know what Jobs to Be Done is, and I realized that it was very shallow and very broad,
wide.
And it turned out to be not really motivating for me. Like, I used to give the big talks in the circuit, and you know, and then I started doing classes, and I realized that it's really 20%. If I have a class of 20 people, I might have 4 people who really get it. That's my number.
Does this sound like when I talk about the intensive? It's like I could put 100 people in the room,
but you're only going to get 20 that I get it.
What exactly? It's like, so I just bring the 20.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is the way you do that is you either raise your standards to get in.
Yeah.
Because those people are willing to put the extra effort to get in.
Yes.
Or the fact that, so you make a very high screen criteria, or you basically make sure that there's a pre-course that they have to take that to basically get
And we're doing course. Both of those as well. So that's so good. I feel
But that's the way to do that, because at some point
I'm pretty sure also we've been doing this for 3 years, I've known Bob for 6. I'm pretty sure a lot of our conversations kind
Oh yeah. We talk like this all the time.
Oh, man, so. I'm jealous. I'm totally jealous. Oh, story about the Purple Room. You hear that?
No, I hadn't heard it.
Okay. So I worked in Florida in the mid-90s, and I was introduced to the new company. Like, literally the weekend I got to Florida, there was like a company picnic. So I met a bunch of people, and I meet this guy that you wouldn't think would be like a very professional. It's like, he's got spiky colored hair. Yeah, he's got like a ring of earrings, and he's very heavily tattooed. We're at the beach, so you can see. And he goes, hey, he goes, I know Thursday that they want you to move around to some of the other clinics so you can meet some of the other staff. He goes, you guys are going to be in the area. He's going to come by my clinic. And I say, so I go by his clinic. I go in and, you know, I get my tie on and everything. And I'm expecting to see the same guy that I saw at the beach. Yeah. Right. And so I go in, and they introduce me to the manager of the clinic, and I go, oh, hey, it's like, I'm Bill. He goes, we've met. And I was like, what? And it's like, okay, wait a minute. This is the same guy that I met at the beach. He's got his hair slicked back. He's got a suit and tie on. Everything's covered. Yeah. It's like, you can't tell it's the same guy. Takes me into the clinic.
Yeah.
Right. And it was an expansive area. It looked like more like a big living room than a clinic area. Lights fairly low, lighting. So he had a lot of candles, and he had, like, if you listen closely, you could hear the music in the background. It's like just below conversation level, and you could smell lavender.
Yeah.
And then
very sensorial.
Oh, it was like powerful.
That's
like
great.
I walk in I've used this story like a thousand times, and he goes, it's a home field advantage.
That's exactly right.
And it's like, oh, I get it now. And so, like, every time I've had the opportunity to do that, I don't like this color at all. But I do know that we, like, the very first
room. It's soothing. It's very soothing.
Very soothing.
It's there's a tension. Like, if you measure somebody's stress coming into this room, the out there, they're worried about what's going to happen in this room. When,
like, that big red wall out there. It's like,
that's right.
And then they come in here, and then this allows me to tune down. So this is my home field advantage. Yeah. Like, I stole that directly from that guy.
So I have an office that's literally 3 blocks from my house. It's a 5,000 square foot office. It is set up like an apartment.
Nice.
So when you come in, you walk up, and it's like, there's 2 kitchen tables. There's really big, you know, you can work kind of anywhere. And then we have these rooms with whiteboards all the way around, and they're windows and whatever. But it's like this place where it's like, we call it the safe space. So people can like say anything they want in that room. And like people, once they leave, they all want to come back because they felt like they could be themselves for the first time mm-hmm. ever. And so I have people from all over the world fly in to do that exact for the home field advantage.
Yeah.
And once they come, they will never want us to come see them. So that's my strategy of how I basically travel less and less, is I just make them come to me.
Right. Well, that's, and I prefer that too. Yeah. He rips me from my home.
Well, now part of it is because I just don't want to come here.
Yeah. I don't mind going to Florida. She does like to leave the house. I'm more of like the.
What does your wife do?
She's a surgical nurse. Okay. Actually, yeah. She used to be a what kind? Spine.
Okay.
Yeah, she used to be a flight nurse, so she actually had to learn how to rappel from a helicopter, use a handgun. Like she was pretty badass for a while. Yeah,
she was still badass.
You ask her now, and she goes,
muscle memory. She knows she's not to pull that Glock and use it.
She's got skills. She's got skills, but she's been a nurse for 35 years. Yeah.
Kids?
She has had two.
Okay, you don't have any.
I don't have any. I'm not allowed.
Not allowed.
I didn't pass the test.
We're all laughing about that, but that there is some truth to having something like that.
I'm really not qualified. I didn't have the representation. My mother was a saint, and my dad was not. Like there was a moment. I look back on this, and it's like there was a value to having him for a father. Because I'm happy with myself.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so how could that be like the worst thing ever? But my mother was, and still is.
So the way I say it is this, is that though my dad was as evil as I could ever imagine to me, I wouldn't be who I am today without it.
Right.
And so I have to embrace it. And basically I don't have to say, I don't wish it upon anybody else, but to realize like I've had this gift of all these things that happened that basically made me who I am today.
Right. Like there's a certain intensity that I probably draw from it.
Yeah.
You know, and then
I learned that my inner voice, you know, how you talk to yourself.
Oh, sure.
Like, so my thing is I realized that a lot of it was my dad. And so the moment that I kind of kicked him out and basically brought my mom in and basically brought in myself to basically have conversations with, like there's no more yelling, there's no more assholes, there's no like mm-hmm. I realized like he was the bad side of my inner voice,
right?
And so it was very that's an interesting conversation.
But if you didn't have that comparison,
that's right. I feel sorry to be honest. My children growing up didn't have what I would consider, and they've had trauma of some sort. I know that, but not to the extent that I have it. But the reality is like I can walk into just about anything and just figure it out and be comfortable with it. My kids, there's no way that they have that level of comfort of any of that stuff. And I'm sure you have the comfort of, let's just go, let's try.
Yeah.
And that comes from that, if you will, shitty childhood. But at the same time, it was like you had to make it work.
Yeah.
Well, there's a gift.
There's a confidence of that you'll survive it.
Yeah. I would, the way I say it is like, I might not know how, but I have confidence in my ability to figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been into so many situations. I knew nothing about it. Like I work for the Federal Reserve Bank and I have no idea what they would want with me at all. And it realizes that they feel like that they don't have any customer oriented. They have no idea who the customer is.